This is a podcast from WOR.
You never heard a radio show like this before. Following in the footsteps of his father and grandfather, Taxi Dave drove a taxi in New York City for many years. In fact, he was born in the front seat of a yellow cab. Join us for an hour of informative discussion with the only person in America to have hosted the Today Show one time. He's knowledgeable, he's witty, and he wrote this. The only one of his kind, and presented by Melrose Credit Union, this is the Taxi Dave Show.
Things was kind of slow, see? So I cruised over to Kennedy.
Kennedy Airport?
No, Cape Kennedy. I'm looking to pick up a fare to the moon.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the way it was. My head and mind were fine.
It's Sunday night, and this is the place to be, WOR 710. This is the Taxi Dave Show, the number one show in this time slot, folks. I'm Taxi Dave, and welcome. We got a lot to cover tonight. I'll get to the previous show with Gil Lederman in a second. But first, I have to tell you something that's really bothering me. You know, a lot of stuff has been happening on the subways. In fact, a little later, we're going to report on the strap hangers campaign, the best and worst in the subways in 2015. But here's one of the worst things. You know, I take the subways once in a while, and I get on this train to Queens going into Manhattan. You know, if you do that in the morning, it's really, you like sardines, okay? And the trains may come frequently, but each one is packed. You can't even get into them. And if you're lucky enough to get into it, now there's, you know, a little delay here, a little delay there. For those of you who listened to me last week, you may know that I am on water pills. I get on the subway, and I look around, and I'm like, you know, I'm one of the oldest people in this subway car. And I see one or two candidates out of probably, I don't know, 200 people that might be my age or older. I'm like, why don't the seniors ride in the subway cars? And then the urge to pee came upon me, and I immediately knew the answer to that. There's no place to pee on the subway! Amtrak, they have a bathroom on one of their cars. New Jersey Transit, there's a bathroom available on the train. Long Island Railroad, there's a bathroom available on the train. The subway, good luck, folks. So I get off the first station. Whatever it is, I get off, and I go to the left, and I go to the right. There's no bathroom. I go upstairs. There's no bathroom. I had to leave the subway, go to the street, go to a restaurant. Oh, the bathroom's only for customers. I'm going to take an order to go when I come out. I got to go. And then I had to go back into the subway and pay again. So that's my pet peeve for today. There's no bathrooms in the subway. And for you seniors, I understand why you don't take the subways now. I was getting off a plane. My girlfriend got my luggage, grabbed a cab, JFK. We're making great time. I'm headed back home. And I decide I wanted to tell the driver that I wanted to stop and pick up some dinner. So I tap him on the shoulder, and before I could tell him where I'm stopping, he screams at the top of his lungs, cuts the wheel to the right, crosses three lanes of traffic, stops the car. He's breathing heavy, and I'm like, what's the matter with you? He says, I'm sorry, sir, but for the last 30 years, I drove a hearse. I guess that wasn't that funny. But I want to thank Karen for providing me with that joke. Thank you so much. You see, if I touch them on the shoulder, never mind. Forget about that. Anyway, we had New Year's Eve, and BuzzFeed.com had a story that I received. A listener actually sent me this story. People woke up and realized they spent hundreds of dollars on Uber for New Year's Eve. And on BuzzFeed.com, there are a number of bullet points and a number of emails or texts or that they put in there. And number one is, after enjoying a fun night out celebrating the new year, people all over the U.S. woke up to an unpleasant fact: how much they spent on the Uber ride. And this was one comment from Michelle Carrico. Usually a $23 ride. The driver was great, besides being new and saying he thought it would be about $50. He was truly shocked himself. At the end, the price was $215, a surge rate of 8.5 times the regular rate. I agreed to 3.5 times. I emailed customer support twice and just got an automated response about surging. Don't make the mistake of using Uber during surging. That's one comment. According to several people on social media, the ride-sharing company surge pricing rose significantly during the big party night. CNN's Brian Stelter reported that in Miami Beach, fares were nearly 10 times the normal rate. Other cities saw huge price increases as well, with many riders paying at least three times the normal fare to get home. And number four says, of course, Uber's surge prices are nothing new. The company even tried to warn its riders that they'll be paying more on a New Year's Eve guide before the big night. Here's a comment from Uber. Surge pricing shouldn't be a surprise, the company wrote on its website. Let's toast to you running a fare estimate in the app before you ride. To avoid the high rates, head to the festivities early or catch a ride right after midnight. Six, but that didn't stop riders from freaking out once they realized just how much they would be paying. In many cases, people wrote that they wound up being charged hundreds of dollars for short trips. One comment is, we paid $257.51 for a 15-minute Uber ride home. Okay. People were upset. It just goes on and on and on. When we first began calling, our ride at 12:45 a.m., and the drivers continually canceled while approaching us, intentionally waiting for surge or simply picking up closer fares. When you put this kind of pricing system in place with employees who have zero supervision, you're inviting unethical behavior. That was from Thomas Andrew. So customers also claim that drivers were canceling on them multiple times until the surge kicked in. Other people claim they were being charged much higher than they had signed on for. Melissa Midday. I need someone from Uber to contact me immediately. I accepted a 2.6 surcharge rate last night and was charged with a 7.9. By the way, it should be brought to your attention. This is not in New York City. None of these experiences that I've seen here. But in response to the complaints, an Uber spokesperson told BuzzFeed that the company has surge pricing to ensure its customers can always find a ride. Yet, one rider was quoted as saying, yeah, I'm deleting this app. Clearly, this company feels like it can do anything it wants. The spokesperson added that ensuring riders are always available, rides are always available, is Uber's way to help make sure all their customers get home safely. When folks know that the option for a reliable ride home is available right at their fingertips, it becomes much easier to make the smart decision not to drink and drive, she said. Number 17 states, in addition, Uber's records show most of its riders weren't experiencing rates much higher than normal. Okay, so there you go. Did you have an Uber experience? We have a lot to talk about, but we'll fit it in. 800-321-0710, 800-321-0710. Our email is taxihail@aol.com. Got an email in. If it plays out to be true that Uber surge priced to raise its rate, not because of higher volume, that's unscrupulous and a big disregard of their riders' trust. That's from Mike Simon. Here's something received on January 1st by email. Last night I checked Uber's website at 11:59. They had no surge, but at 12 midnight, Uber surge priced at exactly 12 midnight. They surge priced at 11:59. They were not. At 12 midnight on New Year's Eve, most are partying and not going from place to place, but at midnight Uber surged anyway. It was a phony surge. It was 1.5 in Midtown Manhattan, 1.5 in all the boroughs at the same time. And it wasn't because of demand. And that's from Taxi Mike. We got a lot of mics on this show. What could I tell you? Okay. We already have some phone calls. So why don't we start with our first caller, I believe, is Sala. Welcome to the Taxi Dave Show.
Yeah, David. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Thank you. Thank you. I was attending the class for the handicap, the 3 hours class. And
okay.
It seems, and this seems like it's a joke for the drivers. in a way, like, you know, it's, you know, if the TLC considers the average age for the drivers, we're talking like, you know, most of us like in the late 50s or early 60s somehow. And how are we going to carry a guy like maybe 200 or 300 pounds and put him in a wheelchair, or he's in the wheelchair itself, and I carry him on the ramp, whatever it is. And this takes like 20 minutes just to tie him in the way they want it. It's a joke. And the TLC, they don't look at the, you know, the background for us, like, you know, in a way, like, we all, you know, the drivers, most of the drivers have health issues. And how are we going to do this?
Let me just give you some background, folks, if you're listening to the Taxi Dave Show here. We're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. Every taxi driver, every licensed driver starting in 2016 must take a wheelchair accessible certification class. And Sala is saying, you know, if I'm 50 or 60 years old, how am I supposed to wheel somebody into the vehicle who's much heavier or take the time to tie down? You're saying it takes 20 minutes. I don't know if that's accurate, but it's a good point. But we have to service the disabled, and if this is what it takes, this is what it takes. But we're not, we shouldn't be the only segment of the New York City transportation industry to be doing this. If it's good for yellow cabs, why isn't it good for Uber? Do you know the answer?
I don't think it's good for anybody. This is, has to be done by professionals. It's not easy at all. Like, how many wheelchair guy I'm gonna pick up a day? And they call me for this class, right? And my turn gonna come another 5 years. By the time I go there, I don't know nothing about how to handle this job.
Okay.
You got,
well,
my phone, David?
What'd you say?
Did you get what I'm saying? Like, you know,
I understand what you're saying. You think you're gonna forget it after 4 years?
Yeah, no. It's gonna be, you know, history.
By the time you renew your license,
and those vehicles, they're not like cars for to pick up those wheelchair guys. They're very small cars. If you look
at
the back.
For those of you who don't know, starting in January, at least right now, as vehicles retire, 50% of all yellow cabs will start to become wheelchair accessible taxis. That's right. So by 2020, the entire taxi fleet will have 50% of their fleet wheelchair accessible. And, you know, you bring up an interesting point. I want to thank you for listening and calling the Taxi Dave Show. Here's a little news out there from Albany. Next, in the springtime, New York law will prohibit municipalities from collecting fines, surcharges, or administrative fees for traffic cases when the violations are dismissed. Now, that amendment to the state traffic law was approved by the legislature this week and signed by Governor Cuomo this week. And it takes effect in March. What you should know is if you go to court in any municipality in New York State, and let's say the case is dismissed, it's not uncommon for you to walk out $150 thinner in your pocket, because municipalities have different fees. They call them administrative fees. If they're taking the time to have their judge there, their police there, the lights burning in court, you're going to pay an administrative fee. And many of them are over $100, even though your case is dismissed or you're found not guilty. So a new law starting in March prohibits traffic fees when the charges are dismissed. Remember that. It will save you some money, folks. Okay, let's take JFK Mike. You're on the Taxi Dave Show.
Well, first of all, Dave, Happy New Year to you, and Happy New Year to all my homies in the taxi business. So Happy New Year to everybody out there. Yes.
Same to you, Mike.
And I guess if I can ramble on, as the Zep song says, I'm at JFK, a lot of cabs, very little activity. And two things I want to follow up on, the Uber and the wheelchair thing, is the historically the city has been paying $60 per person per ride to people transporting other people in wheelchairs. $60.
Not only wheelchairs.
Per ride.
That's right. Any accessoride fare, right, averages about $60. You're not necessarily people who are in wheelchairs.
Yeah, no, it's, trust me, there's a lot of Academy Award-winning people riding around in accessorized cars these days, let me tell you. And the other thing is the budget divided by the wheelchair people, like you said, it's like 60, and if you get a wheelchair van with six people in it, the company is making $360 because it's $60 per person. I don't see the TLC or the city offering that money to us. And I think it would be a nice thing if the city could say, okay, we can double up some people on this $60 per person per ride thing. But every step of the way, the city tries to chisel us. They don't want the cab drivers to make money. And I'm just at my wit's end with they keep complaining. Oh, and the other thing with the wheelchair, Dave, is where are we supposed to pick these people up? We have to pick them up in crosswalks and bus stops. I've seen bike lanes all over the city. I don't see one wheelchair accessible stop specifically for cabs or FHV vehicles. And God forbid they do it for Uber. I mean, Uber's like the tail that wags the dog these days. They get away scot-free. So thank you for the wheelchair thing. And before I run out of breath, I'd like to talk about the Uber thing for a second, if I could.
Let's just talk about the logistics about picking up someone who's in a wheelchair. So let's say you get a fare, you have a wheelchair accessible vehicle, you get a fare. By the way, the TLC is raising their rates to deadhead. If you have to go pick up a fare and let's say it's 2 miles away, you're going to get $30 besides the fare. But that if you're on, let's say you're on First Avenue, we've been through this, you have parking, then you have a dedicated bike lane, then you have concrete, and then there are delivery trucks, then one lane for traffic, and then you have on the other side the bus lanes. So if someone is on the left side, you can't pull into the bike lane. We've been warned by the Department of Transportation. So you're in a lane of traffic. How safe is that? And how does someone in a wheelchair circumvent the concrete barrier? Okay, of the bike lane, you can't. And then you're not allowed to go into the bus lane. Well, you can if you do it expeditiously, if you do it quickly. And there you have Shah who called in and says, you know, it takes a long time to secure someone properly into a wheelchair accessible vehicle. So it's a catch-22 for more summonses for taxi drivers. And the purpose may be heartfelt and good, but no one in New York City is taking the reins. And you're right. There should be designated areas for people in wheelchairs to take accessible yellow cabs. Absolutely. And maybe near places where they frequent, like hospitals. Unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things, Dave, you don't know whether to laugh or cry because it's so obvious. We even have a wheelchair logo on the hood of these cars where people can see it's a wheelchair spot, and they have it like they have a wheelchair accessible space in front of like a 7-Eleven or in a supermarket, but on the street, I mean, what would they have to do? They'd have to chop down some of the island where they've blocked off for the, you know, the almighty bike lane, and then just put like a little wheelchair pit stop for people to physically get in a cab. And I'll tell you one thing. The other thing was with Uber. I don't know how they've dodged this situation, but apparently we've caught in, you know, holy hell throughout the years about, oh, my God, the cab drivers don't do this. Uber is the tail that wags the dog, and I don't know how this keeps going on and on and on with these characters. And where are their handicapped vehicles? Does Uber even have one handicapped vehicle specifically outfitted for handicapped people?
Listen, I mean, I have an accent, but listen to my answer. The question is, does Uber have even any handicapped vehicles? Okay, listen very carefully. I want you to understand this. Here it is. No. Got it?
I think so. Yeah, that's okay. Loud and clear. Not one.
All right, listen, thanks for calling into the Taxi Dave Show. Appreciate it. We're brought to you
Dave,
by Melrose Credit Union. Go ahead. You can get there from here. You live in New Jersey. There's 10 crumbling bridges that's going to scare the you-know-what out of you. We'll get to that in a little while. We do have a lot of phone calls. Let me just give you a little more news besides these emails that are coming in. City Bike. Remember City Bike? Now, what's wrong with this picture? You know, tourists for 2015... And this is a story by Danielle Ferfaro, just to let you know. $5 million in late fees and fines, okay? And they had a record 10 million rides in 2015. But listen to this. The company's levying increasing higher fines against the riders. over $5,222,000 in late fees and damage fees. Citibank took in a total of $33.5 million for the whole year. Okay? 15% of their income is in late fees and damage fees. So what's wrong with that picture? And here's something else wrong with the picture. Ridership went up 22% between 2014 and 2015, but fines that were collected shot up by 77%. Hey, all you bikers, you got all the lanes, you got all these nice Citibanks bikes, the weather's been great, 74 degrees, Christmas Eve. How come you guys aren't shouting out? 77% increase in fines? You know, do you know if a rider keeps a bike out for 24 hours past the agreed return time, you have to pay $1,200. That's the full value. And they charge it to your credit card automatically until you plead it down. So you too are guilty before proven innocent. Oh, I ran into a car and I was in the hospital. Sorry, $1,200. Thank you. And Citibike officials are declining to say how many of their bikes have been stolen. So there's some interesting information and statistics on Citibike on the Taxi Dave Show. We're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Okay. Noah, do we have Brooklyn Tommy. You're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Happy New Year, Dave. How are you?
I'm great, and Happy New Year to you, too.
Thank you. It's good to hear your voice. I've been off work the past week. I have a question for you. I just heard that they're going to do a increase the fare to JFK from JFK for midtown during rush hour, pretty much 4 to 8. Is that true? That's my one question.
Well, what they're doing is they're raising the flat rate on February 20th by $4.50 in each direction. The reason they're doing that is we all know it takes, I mean, I've had reports of 3 hours to get into Manhattan sometimes during rush hour. So instead of $52, you know what happens with some tourists. You got a toll, which is whatever, $5 mm-hmm. with the easy pass, $52, or $6. And they give you $60 and think they're doing you a big service there. So the $4.50 should help a little bit. Most people on the Taxi Dave Show have said it's a drop in the bucket. It's not enough. It should go up at least $10 or $15 each way. A minimum of $10 or $15. Especially since people are paying so much more with apps to get to the airport and back from the airport. But it is true between the hours of 4 and 8. And the Taxi and Limousine Commission justified that because during that time, you pick up about 9 rides, so they divided the surcharge of $1 on 9 rides in half. So $4.50 going and $4.50 coming. It is true, and there'll be another notice. Go ahead.
That's good. That's good. I'm glad to hear. Another incident, because I know my fellow riders are going to get mad at me, my fellow drivers. I noticed that today and yesterday that our meters, for some reason, have a surcharge of $1.80 between 4 and 8. And that usually never happens on weekends. I don't know if it's a CMT issue or, like I said, I've been on vacation the past few weeks. So, is that an issue that I missed out or is a mistake?
Well, maybe instead of having it separately, it sounds like it's the $1.04 surcharge, the 50-cent surcharge that goes to the MTA. I mean, folks, yellow cabs are the only industry in the country, in New York City, who collect money for their competition, who collect money for the MTA, for buses and subways. So if you add the dollar, the 50 cents, and then there's a 30-cent fee that goes towards the purchase and maintenance of the wheelchair-accessible vehicles. Sounds like they bundled it all together instead of 3 different lines on the meter. I don't know if it's so, but I'll look into it for you. Thanks a lot, Brooklyn Tommy. Appreciate you calling. Okay? I'll tell you what. Before we break for commercial, which is going to be right now, real quick, simple contest. You've heard I have a 74 Eldorado convertible. First caller into the radio station is going to win a ride in my convertible with Taxi Dave as soon as the nice weather hits us. When we come back, we'll hit you with Mike Marinelli, and he wants you to know, if you're leasing a car, what you should know before you sign the lease and before you bring the car back. Okay, Mike's an expert with Circle Collision. So stay tuned for more of the Taxi Dave Show. We'll have you winner when we come back.
If the relationship that you have with your bank is the third teller from the left, then maybe it's time to rethink your relationships. At Melrose Credit Union, they believe you should get much more from a banking relationship. That's why they provide their members with a business services specialist, a dedicated individual who takes the time to get to know you and who is responsible for handling every single interaction you have with the credit union. So you can continue to wait for teller number three or head over to Melrose Credit Union. They look forward to getting to know you.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
This is the Taxi Dave Show.
I hope you guys have an extra hour. 1 hour is really not long enough.
I'll have no voice left if I do that. In the Big Apple, and you're listening to the Taxi Dave Show. I'm Taxi Dave. We are broadcasting from the Marriott Marquis Hotel overlooking Times Square this evening. Forgot to mention it. Thank you, Marriott Marquis. Do appreciate it. Lovely view, lovely restaurant. If you like getting dizzy and eating in circles, go to the restaurant. It goes around in a circle. Sorry. Don't throw me out until my show is over, please. Do you live in New Jersey? Well, here's something. The New Jersey Alliance for Action, okay, they have On the Road in NJ website. They have 1,000 photos of cracked concrete, protruding rusty metal pieces, everything you can imagine. I mean, you know, one photo shows collapsed bridge, two are relying on wooden support structures. And this is a story that was written by Larry Higgs, bringing it to light. So here are some of the roads that you may travel if you live or work in New Jersey. Let's start with the big one. Route 17, there's a bridge in Hasbrook Heights. They're included in the deteriorated bridges and roads on that website. Route 46 in Clifton in Passaic County. Rust and cracked concrete is seen on Route 46. Old York, Port Republic, Atlantic County. There's a wooden bridge connected to a rusty steel span. Okay, Gordon Street and Roselle in Union County. A wooden span connects Gordon Street and Roselle to a steel bridge that carries it over a railroad. Route 495, we all know this one, in Weehawken in Hudson County. The Port Authority in New York bought 10 years of life in a recent rehabilitation of Route 495. That's the helix. That's the helix to and from the Lincoln Tunnel. Apparently, it needs some work. That's a real busy road. 206 in Montgomery. Concrete structure on 206 in Montgomery is deteriorated. Route 59 in Kingwood, Hunterdon County. They call it the poster child for aging bridges is Route 519 bridge in Kingwood Township in Hunterdon County, which collapsed and has been torn down. So there you go. Welcome to New Jersey, folks. Stay off the roads. Oh my gosh. Let's get rid of that. And we have a winner, Joanne Norcia. Joanne Norcia, you're going to ride with Taxi Dave in a 74 Eldorado convertible as soon as I say so, when the weather gets warmer, okay? So unless you want to do it in the cold weather, I'm game for that too. With us now is Michael Marinelli. He's the owner of Circle Collision. We were having a discussion after last week. You know, I told you about the tires. And I did get one email from someone that says, "We're at war! You're talking about tires?" I said, so I would never talk about anything else again except what he wanted to talk about. But in lieu of that, welcome to the Taxi Dave Show again, Mike.
Good evening, Dave. Happy New Year to you and everybody listening. How are you today, sir?
Okay. Now, a lot of us, instead of purchasing a vehicle, I mean, I do a lot of mileage. You know, I have a car that I bought in July. I already have 20,000 miles on it. So leasing doesn't work for me. But it does work for a lot of other people. And, you know, you had some real interesting points on what you need to do, not only before you lease a car, but what you should know before you bring the car back. You want to enlighten our listeners, Mike?
Be happy to do so. Well, this experience I had on my own leasing a car was, you know, I leased the car. I returned it. And, you know, I'm in the auto body business. I'm very fanatical with my vehicles, as you know. Everything is clean. I always keep them nice and neat. I maintain them. Just because you lease a vehicle, you still have to take care of it. Like a lot of people think, oh, I'm leasing it. You know, I don't have to change the oil. You know, I don't have to clean it. You know, I could just give it back. It's not mine. I don't care. That's definitely the wrong perception. You have to take care of the car. You have to change the oil. You have to at least maintain it to a point where when you give it back, it looks presentable and resellable, okay? What people don't realize is when they lease a car, they have a lease agreement. And on a lease agreement, it clearly states, and it varies from auto manufacturer, dealer to dealer. You know, every company has different guidelines, per se, what they'll allow for normal wear and tear. Now, some car manufacturers allow anything the size of a quarter is considered normal wear and tear, like a door ding. And they'll pass it through and, you know, they won't charge you for it. Some companies allow, the size of a dime, and that's, you know, considered normal wear and tear. Anything bigger than that or bigger than a quarter, they will charge you for. Okay. This is really important that you keep the lease agreement in the glove box and read it with the salesman. So there's a clear communication between yourself and the salesman as what they are going to accept as normal wear and tear. Because what happens is, you're bringing the car back. Sometimes the dealers, they have their own people that do lease return inspections, and they walk around the vehicle with you, but people don't know. You know, they're like, okay, here's the key, see you. Sometimes they take you around and walk around the car, and sometimes they don't. And when they don't, all of a sudden they're looking for stuff. There's a scratch the size of it's 3 inches long. Okay, we got to paint the fender. That's $150. There's a scratch on the bottom of the bumper underneath that you didn't see. We got to paint the bumper. Here's another $150. If you walk around the car with the person and you get a receipt as exactly as to what is evident, whether it's a private inspector or somebody from the dealership, you have a copy of the receipt and it'll clearly say what's chargeable and what's not. So many times it's happened to customers of mine and myself. You know, I bring the car back. There's nothing wrong with it. All of a sudden I get a bill that there was scratches on the door that, you know, it's $150 to paint the door. There were scratches on the bumper, and they keep your deposit, your security deposit. So the clearest way out of that is, A, go around the vehicle when you return it. Don't give the guy the key unless you walk around the car with him. If he says, well, we have our own inspector that's going to come do it tomorrow, do yourself a favor. Every phone has a video. Take a picture of the car. One quick walk around the car. I do this all the time with my wife. Here's the fenders, the doors, you walk around it, there's no damage on this car. Because what they do is they take the car back, they never fix it, they keep your deposit, not all dealers. I'm not saying, you know, not trying to be critical of everyone, but...
No, I've heard of dealers saying that we find at least $1,000 wrong with any car that was on a lease when they bring it back, no matter what. I've heard that.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's bullshit. Excuse my language, but that's, you know, that's just they're digging for stuff. Because they want to hold your security, and they try and charge you, you know, the difference. And they can't make you pay it. But if you have pictures and you have a receipt, I actually offer that service in my shop for my customers. I tell people, look, oh, I have to return it. You know, let me bring the car in. Let me let you clean it up. I said, before I start saying, they say, oh, I got to fix this. I got a dent here. Look, before I take your money and charge you for the stuff that you're assuming that has to be repaired, let me see your lease agreement. And I'll walk around the lease agreement. $150, you detail the inside, the outside, and I explain to them, look, this is smaller than a nickel, this is smaller than a quarter, they're not going to charge you for that.
You know what? That's some great information. I've never thought about doing some of that stuff. Mike Marinelli is the owner of Circle Collision Center. That's in Nanuet, New York. And, you know, he's a very modest guy. He says you can look at his website at circlecollision.com.
Yes.
And, check it out. If you like what you see online, you like what you're hearing on the radio, give Mike a call. Or bring your car there before you bring your lease back. Give him a call for an appointment. Or if you're gonna lease a car, and you didn't catch everything on the show today, maybe you'll get it. You're listening to the taxi. Go ahead.
I'm quite certain there's a lot of people in the audience that have had their cars, returned them, and they say, oh, these cars fine, there's nothing wrong with it, and they've gotten bills from leasing companies. You don't have to pay it unless it's really
I'm curious. Evident. Have you gotten any bills from leasing companies? Meantime, we have some phone lines that are backed up. We still have Frank on the line. You're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Hi, Dave.
Yes, sir.
Hi. I was disappointed with my morale on New Year's Eve. I've been out my 43rd year driving in New Year's Eve, and I didn't feel like the celebration was there for me. And I'm concerned because I'm going to be dictated to as to having to renew my car, which has been a gift to me. It's been a life-giving gift. I feel young again in this Highlander I'm driving, and they want me to go to a Bronco kind of kick in the back, kind of strong shocks in the back with those wheelchair accessible cars that are going to make me feel uncomfortable, and I'm worried about my health because I had a pinched nerve in my neck after 33 years of driving, and my neck bothers me once in a while, and if I start having neck problems, I mean, I'm just not going to be a happy camper out there.
Well, you're going to be the first one to actually drive from a wheelchair in the back seat. We're going to set it up for you that way.
Yeah. I mean, Dave, I'm so happy with my Public. I take the Bell Parkway when I leave Kennedy. I'm about the only cab that does that. I mean, I go the long way around, give people a beautiful scenic view of the New York Harbor. They see the Verrazano Bridge. They see a horseback riding academy on the Bell Parkway. They see the container ships and maybe a cruise ship coming in or out of New York. They see the Statue of Liberty, which the French call beautiful. And, I mean, they get the scenic view, and I tell the customers that the police know me by now. I think I'm the only cab doing this, but they thank me. They look at me in a very earnest, passionate way at the end of a ride, and they thank me for taking them the longer way.
That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, but I took me less than an hour and a half to get to the Waldorf Astoria from the Bell Parkway, take the West Side Highway, and across on 50th Street. And of course, we saw traffic by the Christmas tree. But which was nice to see as well. I mean, this person was
coming. You know what? It's a flat rate, so you're not really taking them the long way, unless they're in a hurry.
34 miles, 32 miles, but they're still the same. And they enjoyed the ride. They got there sometimes in an hour 15 to the West Side, Dave, with no traffic on the Bell Parkway. Cabs who want to go there. I mean, if I was to share my car with somebody, I'd tell them, encourage them to take the Bell Parkway to avoid traffic and enjoy the ride.
Okay. Frank, I want to thank you for sharing that with us. And thanks for listening and calling into the Taxi Dave Show. Do you take the Marine Park? What is that? Stop saying Marine Parkway and Cross Bay Bridges. Starting in July, no more Easy Pass. Right now, only the Henry Hudson Bridge has electronic-only tolls. I should say no more cash. Owners of vehicles without an Easy Pass right now are billed by the MTA, and that's going to happen, okay, starting in July on the Marine Parkway and Cross Bay Bridges. It costs $26 million to implement. That's according to the MTA. The toll rate is $2.08 for Easy Pass and $4 for cash. If drivers don't pay 5 overdue tolls, or 5 fee notices within 18 months, and they ignore the notices to pay what they owe, the registration of the car will be suspended. So it looks like you're going to have no choice, folks, but to get Easy Pass or pay your bills when you get them in the mail. You heard that on the Taxi Dave Show. Here's an email. So Uber drops out of the sky and initiates surge pricing, which their so-called customers love. And the yellow cab drivers, we've been nitpicked to death about overcharging with the infamous Taxi and Limousine Commission New Year's Eve letter. Not to congratulate us for doing a fine job throughout the year, but to remind us about overcharging on New Year's Eve and the repercussions associated with that. So this gentleman is just saying, hey, we don't search price. We're warned not to overcharge, but others can charge two, three times what the normal rate is. And as you heard earlier in the show, in some places in the country, up to 10 times what the normal rate is. All right. Let's take a call from Gloria. You're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Hi, Dave. Happy New Year.
Same to you, Gloria.
Yeah, Dave, I really, truly believe that there are some powerful people sabotaging the yellow taxi industry. Number one, we bought the medallion in 1983. We, the exclusive right to street hail. Number two, there was no wheelchair accessibility. If not, we would have gone into the business of accessory. Number two, since 1983, number three, I'm sorry, since 1983 to 2016, everything the TLC has done is to kill the medallion owners with expensive rules for the drivers. Now, 2014 comes, Uber, Lyft, Via, anybody could just take over the city with no rules, no regulation, no handicap accessibility. What is the city doing? I mean, it's like my husband has a lot of health issues. He can't find a driver. And, like, nobody does anything for the taxi driver, for the yellow cab. The yellow cab does something, and all of a sudden, they're all over the news. Uber does something, nobody hears about it. And if it comes on the news, it just comes once, and then it disappears. Because apparently, somebody owns the media. What do you feel about all these changes that are going on? Everything is against the yellow taxi industry. It's like somebody's out there sabotaging.
Here's an email from Steve, Gloria. He kind of agrees with you. He says, somebody's making lots of money with that wheelchair-accessible taxi program, as you just said. Is it necessary to have 50% of the yellow taxi industry's wheelchair-accessible serving the riding public? How many riders are handicapped with the unfoldable wheelchairs? Less than 1%? So why the Taxi and Limousine Commission and the City of New York are demanding that that many cabs become wheelchair-accessible? Use that wheelchair-accessible cabs to overload with heavier luggage and five or six people because it's a bigger cab. Besides that, where is the space in the congested city to pull over to load and unload that wheelchair-accessible cab, which is what Mike had said earlier? So people agree with you that, you know, yellow cabs are just being picked on. That's all. They're just being picked on.
But why are these all rules and regulation against them? All the fees that we need to pay. It's just ridiculous what this industry has become just because the powerful people are making all these, this money. Let me tell you, I went to my doctor in the city and I held a cab and it was wheelchair accessibility. I have chronic back pain. I couldn't even get on inside that cab. It took me, I could not lift myself up to get inside the cab. I had told the cab driver, I don't know how handicapped people could even use this. You got to be on a wheelchair.
Unbelievable.
It's just, I am so disappointed.
You know, yellow cabs have 80 years of regulation. Okay, yeah. In the 1930s, the medallion system was started. And the Taxi Limousine Commission began... You know, about, when was it? I forget, 25, 35 years ago. And a lot of rules have come and gone. They've been refined. Every single rule was rewritten at the cost of an unknown amount. No one could ever find out who was out of the taxi commission. Every single rule was rewritten a few years ago under Commissioner David Yasky and Mayor Bloomberg. And those rules were specific for yellow cabs. And then they made similar rules for black cars and the like, and paratransit. But nowhere does it say that any other segment other than yellow and green cars have to become 50% wheelchair accessible. That was done by a higher power. It was an agreement after a lawsuit by the disabled community with the city of New York. And by the way, a lot of people think everyone should be 100% accessible, and let's just do that, and then it's even in a level playing field. But you're right. When you have 80 years of regulation and people get used to the income from, you know, and the resources from not only licensing but also fining, it's hard to change. And
honestly, I think they're just discriminating against the elderly people, because I don't think a 50-year-old, a 60-year-old could really do that job if they become a wheelchair accessibility. So they're actually discriminating against these drivers that are not going to be able to do this job.
You may be right. And then what happens? He refuses and he gets another summons. All right.
Yeah.
Refusals are the most serious complaints you can get against you.
But then Uber comes in and they could do whatever they want. It's like they own the city. Uber, Lyft, Via, it's like they come in with no rules, no regulations.
Yeah, see, right. We're going to do what we want. We're going to do it our way.
That's what I tell you. It's not what you know. It's who you know. You know some powerful people, and you get in. It's amazing how this city has come to. I am very disappointed. I'm so disappointed. I'm disgusted about this.
Gloria.
No?
You know Taxi Dave, and I appreciate you calling into the show. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good night.
Okay, here's an email from Christine. Hi, Taxi Dave. Noticed something a lot lately on my block in Queens. A lot of illegal cabs parked, and that's taking away parking places for me and for my husband. We can't park on our own block anymore. He came home last night after a hard day's work and had to park at a meter. Really? Fuber. Oh, that's her name that she invented. Fuber. How many of these guys don't even live on the block? They should be parking on the avenue and pay a meter. When we bought our home 14 years ago, unfortunately, we couldn't afford a house with a driveway or a garage. It's bad enough we live on a block where there's a Catholic school and the teachers don't use the parking lot. We've just about had it with living in New York City. Hate taking the bus and trains too. People don't move, so when I get on and off, they get a Brooklyn love shove, and I do verbally let them know that I'm getting off. That's from Christine. Thank you very much, Christine. Appreciate it. That's a taxihail at AOL.com, and our phone number is 800-321-0710. When we come back, we'll take a couple of more calls, and I'll tell you what the strap hangers have to say, the best and worst about the subways in 2015. Also, the World Trade Center PATH station. We talked about it last week, how it's behind in delays, and they came up with an opening date. Yes, how about that? And what about a free bus to LaGuardia? Uh-oh, stay tuned for the Taxi Dave Show. We'll be back.
My father was a gambler down in Georgia, and he wound up on the wrong end of a gun. And I was born in the backseat of a Greyhound bus, rolling down Highway 41. Oh,
if the relationship that you have with your bank is the third teller from the left, then maybe it's time to rethink your relationships. At Melrose Credit Union, they believe you should get much more from a banking relationship. That's why they provide their members with a business services specialist, a dedicated individual who takes the time to get to know you and who is responsible for handling every single interaction you have with the credit union. So you can continue to wait for teller number three or head over to Melrose Credit Union. They look forward to getting to know you.
Did you just look down at your phone? You did it again, didn't you? You know, you're flying down the road in a 3-ton hunk of steel. and a text takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds? At 55 miles per hour, that's long enough to travel the length of a football field and cause some serious damage. Turn it off. Trust me. Whatever it is, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
This is the Taxi Dave Show.
I hope you guys have an extra hour. 1 hour is really not long enough.
I'll have no voice left if I do that every time. Well, last night, I didn't say late. Home, home, had a 19 day. Everybody's trying to be my baby. Everybody's trying to be my baby. Everybody's trying to be my baby now. Welcome back to the Taxi Dave Show, folks. We're on WOR. It's about 6 minutes to nine. Just to let you know, Gil Lederman and Radio Surgery will be on at 10 and also at midnight. Provides an incredible service to help you live longer if you have, possibly live longer if you have cancer. Located at 1384 Broadway. And you just dial 212-246-CHOICES. Gil Lederman doing a service to humanity. Listen to a show if you need some help. New York City Transit, the best and worst moments in 2015. Okay? The strap hangers caffeine. How do you like that? I'm having too much coffee. You know, speaking of drinking, hold on a second. Don't drink and drive. Okay, the strap hangers campaign released their top 10 and worst 10. And Gene Rushinoff, the attorney for the group, says on truly bad days, a subway and bus ride can feel like surviving the 10 plagues. The worst, the MTA raised the fare for a subway and a bus by a quarter to $2.75. And the monthly MetroCard went up almost $5 to $116.50. A G-Train also derailed. Give me that whistle. A G-Train derailed with 150 passengers on board when a tunnel wall collapsed. A video went viral, of a resourceful rat dragging up a slice of pizza from the stairs. Remember that? There's actually a picture of a rat carrying a full slice of pizza on the subway stairs. What a subway system we have, folks. And subway cars got even more cramped with ridership hitting the highest levels since World War II. And that sparks overcrowding delays, especially if you have to go pee-pee. Workers at an accessoride call center threatened to strike over low wages and working conditions that included bed bugs. Accessoride, at $60 a ride for accessoride on an average. They can't afford to pay wages and get rid of bed bugs? And the best part that strap hangers campaign said, the best things that happened. The MTA, Governor Cuomo, and Bill de Blasio agreed to spend $29 billion on the subway, buses, and railroads, and the MTA bridges and tunnels. $26 billion of the spending has to be approved by the state review board. Another great thing, the first woman was chosen to run the New York City Transit Authority, which runs the city subways and buses. Veronique Hakim was most recently in charge of New Jersey Transit and worked with the MTA for more than 20 years. A select bus service speeds up crawling routes with off-board MetroCard swipes and dedicated bus lanes. The city is shooting for 20 routes by 2017. New lines include the M86 crosstown of Manhattan, the Q44 in Jamaica, Flushing, and the Bronx. Anybody read about the M66? I reported it last week. The slowest bus in New York City. 3 miles an hour. Yeah, we need more of those in Manhattan. That's just what we need. Add more buses. They don't take up much space. They're only 6,000 feet long. What the heck? You know? My gosh. All right, let's take we have time for one or two calls. Tom O'Connor, you're on the Taxi Dave Show.
Dave, Happy New Year, Dave.
Thank you.
Dave, our only problem in this industry, of the taxi industry, after being 55 years in this industry, I find that we're still not united. That's why we have Uber, because this industry is not united. Unfortunately, also, the banks and the credit unions are not united. They'll never see their money. If they don't get going and do something about this structure that's existing at this period of time, that's all I got to say, Dave.
Thank you for calling into the Taxi Dave Show. I'm always respectful to my callers, especially someone who's been in the industry for 55 years. There is a lawsuit that Melrose Credit Union is spearheading, and attached to that lawsuit, in addition, there are other plaintiffs, Lompto Credit Union, Progressive Credit Union, the New York City Taxi Medallion Owner-Driver Association, some independents, and some other corporations. And they are suing for equal protection. More about that in the future. Thank you for calling again, Tom. We have another Tom. This Tom's from Staten Island. Welcome to the Taxi Dave Show. Oh, we have Rob from Bloomfield, New Jersey. You're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Hi, Dave. How are you, sir? Thanks for taking my call. I'll be brief. I'm 11 years. I live in Bloomfield. I drive a cab here. And many people and emails are trying to tempt me to do Uber. But I think about it and I say, I don't want to put lots of miles on my personal car. I don't want to pay my own maintenance. My insurance company told me if they find out, they'll drop me. So my cab company... my cab company takes care of all that, and if my car breaks down, they give me a new one. So I don't see how these idiots are being tempted to take all these chances with their own personal car.
Tom, listen, thanks for calling the Taxi Dave Show. We run out of time. Call earlier next week, please. I want to thank all our callers, all our listeners. We're the number one show in New York City. Okay, we'll see you next Sunday. We're here every Sunday between 8 and 9. Too bad for the Jets and Giants this weekend. And I got to go now. It looks beautiful at Times Square. Thank you, Marriott Marquis. Hey, taxi, get me the heck out of here. It's too crowded. Too many buses.
This has been a podcast from WOR.